Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The top news story of 2020 has been COVID-19, lockdowns, school closings, contact tracing, PPE, daily case numbers, bans on elective surgeries, layoffs, business closures, capacity restrictions on restaurants, mandated mask wearing, etc., etc. But has the country and the world paid an unnecessary price for this virus that appeared out of China? My guest today is Twyla Brace, RN, PHN, president of and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, or CCHF. That's a national patient-centered nonprofit which was established 25 years ago in Minnesota, and that supports healthcare choices, individualized patient care, and medical and genetic privacy. She's also the author of the four-time award-winning book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. Thanks, Twyla, for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much.
So almost every day, I've about given up on it now, but I check the PA Health Department website, and I know others who check the CDC website on a regular basis, if not daily, to see what the numbers are, new COVID deaths, new cases, hospitalizations, those on ventilators, etc. Why have we become obsessed with those numbers, and can we trust those numbers?
Well, the reason that we've become obsessed, for one thing, is because the news is telling us every day, many times a day, that our numbers are going up and that we need to take more precautions and that whatever we're doing isn't working, people are dying. But when you ask about whether we should trust the numbers, I think that is a good question. We should think very carefully about several different things. One of them has to do with whether or not these people are actually infected, despite what the numbers say. And the other one is those people who die, are they dying with COVID or from COVID? Mm-hmm. Those are two very different things. And so if you'd like, I would tackle the numbers first, just to give people an idea mm-hmm. of why there's some skepticism about the
absolutely.
Numbers.
Yeah, because we hear about, you know, people killed in Florida in a motorcycle accident, but yet it's attributed to COVID. So yes, let's tackle the numbers.
Okay, yes. And in that case, that person died with COVID, uh-huh. but even that we might not be COVID. So let me just talk about the numbers. So people are getting tested for COVID-19 primarily from what's called the PCR test. And that's where they go into the nose and down the back of the throat and, you know, send that off. Well, it turns out that this is a highly sensitive test, and it can be increased in its sensitivity by doing it wrong, and therefore you might end up with more people being diagnosed with COVID-19 rather than, you know, what the truth is. And mm-hmm. so at the end of August, the New York Times did a study. They looked at the positive results of Nevada, Massachusetts, and New York, and they found that up to 90% of the positive tests actually are not positive.
Up to 90%. Is that what you said, 90?
90%.
Oh my goodness.
And so here's how it works. It's a little hard to explain, but let's just say there's something called amplification, and they do something called cycle thresholds. But it's the numbers that you need to remember here. So if they cycle through that, you know, piece of material that they got out of your nose, and they cycle through it, you know, too many times, they're going to find something. It might be just the smallest little fragment of something, and then that's just classified as though it were positive. But what they have said that if you have to cycle through that material more than 30 times, then you probably do not have someone who's positive. You just have some little remnant, some like dead nucleotides was Dr. Fauci's word for it.
Yeah.
And so that the person doesn't have enough virus in their system to be infected or to infect anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 90% of these COVID cases might not be COVID cases.
Wow. So if they were to get a second test, I always hear if you get a diagnosis from one doctor, you should get a second opinion. If they were to get a second opinion, quote-unquote, the result may be different.
It might be different, but it's still depending on the cycles. So,
okay.
For example, the state of Maine has a cycle threshold of 45. Well, that's 15 more cycles than what is considered where you should be looking at someone actually being infected.
Mm-hmm.
And I should maybe clarify this in that people who have been diagnosed positive by using these higher cycle threshold numbers, so cycling through more times, the problem is that they can't actually culture the virus out of these people. And so they're saying they don't have enough of a viral load. And it may just be shedding of some other coronavirus
mm-hmm.
or some other little piece of DNA that looks like coronavirus or is a different kind of coronavirus. And so they can't culture anything out of them. So they're not actually positive. You have to have enough of a viral load, so enough of the virus in your nose or in your throat to actually be considered positive. And when you're down below, when they find it, when they've done many, many fewer cycles, like, you know, 20, 25, or 30
mm-hmm.
cycles, then you've got a bigger viral load in, and then you might actually be positive.
Just that test just sounds, you know, painful. Yeah, go through your nose, down your throat. That just sounds painful
then,
in itself.
Yeah, and then I would say also for the antigen or the antibody tests, they might be getting better. I think it's a little hard to tell, but from the very get-go, it's been said that they are notoriously unreliable. So I think it's a little hard to know what to make of the numbers these days, given everything that we now know about the tests.
And my whole thought was always, well, the more tests you do, the more positive cases you're going to find. But you're saying that up to 90% of cases that have tested positive may not be positive.
Right.
So
confirmed cases may not actually be confirmed cases.
Right. Here in PA, the state website keeps, supposedly, the numbers, anyway, are listed as, you know, they give an overall number, and then they break it down to confirmed and probable. And they do that for all 67 counties. But even those numbers, I mean, you know, there's newspapers always talking about, well, we have 2,000 new COVID-19 cases today. So it's just, in reality, we cannot trust any of those numbers out there.
Right.
Wow.
And, right. And, you know, I think that the New York Times did this study because back in 2006 in New York, there was a whooping cough disease scare, and they thought that more than 140 people in this one hospital had caught it, and this was all being tested with the PCR test. And then in 2007, when they actually cultured these specimens, they could find nothing. And
wow.
So they called it they said something like the epidemic that wasn't.
Yeah.
And so I think that the New York Times, who reported this back in 2007, probably looked at this and thought, I wonder if this is happening too. And so they did this survey of these three states because of their concern that this might be going on because of the PCR test and how mm-hmm. some people have used it in the past.
Most COVID tests are use the PCR test. Is that what you said?
Right.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
It's just scary, and of course it's all President Trump's fault because cases are going up, and although deaths themselves, and what bugs me is they're concentrating on the cases and not the fact that the death rate is going down. It's always cases,
right.
cases, what they're talking about.
Right. Yeah, even if you look at the country, you see these cases going up. And again, I don't even know what to think about those numbers, right?
Yeah.
But you see you actually see the deaths going down. They're not like at the very beginning of this, you
mm-hmm.
know, and, you know, at its peak, let's say in April, May, the cases were high and the deaths were high.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of together. Well, now it's not together.
Right, exactly.
And the other thing that I would say, you know, about the with and from question is there are indeed people who have COVID, and the best way to say this is perhaps like the Illinois Department of Health, the head of the Department of Health there. And she, a reporter, asked about this young person who had died and asked if it was from COVID. And she said, well, you need to understand what a COVID death is. And she said, you know, if we've got somebody in hospice and we expect them to die in the next 2 weeks, and then we find out that they have COVID, that's a COVID death.
That is a COVID death.
That's how it's classified, as a COVID
okay.
death.
Didn't
because
the CDC come down with those guidelines?
Yes. Well, the CDC was, yes. They have guidelines out about how to classify deaths.
Okay.
And probable are supposed to be put in there, and that really perturbing to Dr. Scott Jensen, who's a physician and a Minnesota state senator, who got onto, YouTube maybe, and just talked about how precise doctors are told to be with their death certificates. And so if you don't know that somebody died of something, you don't put it down. And so he was perturbed at the CDC coming out with these vague, you know, put it down if you think.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I watched his YouTube videos. And wasn't he threatened with having his medical license removed?
Because, yes, he was.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually sent a 70-page document to them, and eventually that just got dropped.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he is right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were
right.
Wrong.
And I'm thinking about the two doctors in California who have several clinics there, and they came out way back in, I'm not sure, May or June, and they were questioning the whole numbers, you know, the COVID cases, the deaths, and such as that, and they were censored. So there's definitely a big effort to censor anyone who doesn't toe the line. And to me, that sends a message to all in the medical field, you better toe the line or else you'll be censored or threatened with losing your medical license.
Well, I think the interesting thing about COVID for your listeners is COVID is a serious condition for those who get it, a serious case. And it is a mystery, and one of the physicians that I follow on Twitter who's done the most investigation into the actual pathophysiology, in other words, what's happening in the body with somebody who gets, you know, this SARS-CoV-2 virus. And it's been fascinating to watch his exploration as he's delved into it more than almost anybody else, and just the realization that there are these tiny little clots that form, and his latest tweet came out and talked about thinking this is really much more of it causes a response in the platelets, and that these platelets start coming together, and then this causes these little blood clots. Mm-hmm. And he's recommending, you know, aspirin, and of course talk to your doctor about it. But he's recommending that, you know, like even as a preliminary thing to help you. Of course, not everybody can take aspirin because of blood clotting issues.
Correct.
But, you know, to watch the pathophysiology of it and to figure it out, and he thinks that perhaps this is why there are long-term effects from it. So COVID-19 and the condition that it causes, it's a real thing. But for most people, it is not serious at all. And that's why the Barrington Declaration came out with something like 30,000 public health experts and epidemiologists who basically said that most people should just go back to normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And just really those who are most susceptible, which are the elderly, yes, but also the obese and people with multiple conditions.
Right.
They just tend to be more susceptible to COVID-19 and can get a much more severe case.
Right, and that's what they've been saying. Those with underlying, I don't know the medical term, morbidity, is that the right word?
Comorbidities.
Okay. Which is multiple issues that they have, which you named, you know, the obesity and such. I think high blood pressure is one of them, I think, is what they've said.
Yeah, cardiovascular conditions, diabetes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's really bugged me is that we were told in the beginning, you know, just wash your hands, and if you, you know, sneeze into your elbow, and if you're sick, stay home, et cetera, et cetera. We were told that we don't have to wear masks. But of course, now it's all changed, and there's mask mandates. If we are not sick, is there any medical reason that we should be wearing masks?
No, and so if your listeners go to facefreedom.org, we've put up a one-pager with 8 statements from experts. So it's just one page, one side of one page, just talking about how there's no science to this. The virus is so tiny. There's actually concern that by wearing a mask, you feel safe rather than, you know, keeping your distance. You might go out when you're sick when you shouldn't. There's a cross-contamination because you keep fiddling with your mask. Mm-hmm. You put it in your pocket. You lay it on the table. I had one clerk who wanted me to wear a mask who laid it on the conveyor belt of the store, and I thought, are you kidding? You really would expect me to pick that up and put that on? But and so there are scientists who say, no, it doesn't work as source control, which means it doesn't protect others, and it doesn't work as PPE, which is personal protective equipment. This is all, like some have said, of course, a masquerade, right?
Yeah.
Some have called it political theater or, you know, safety theater. In 1918, during the Spanish flu, there were people who went to jail rather than wear a mask, And at that point, I just found out that the best hospital in San Francisco said that 74% of their nurses were getting Spanish flu despite the very best use of masks.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
So you know you.
I have refused. I mean, Governor Wolf, way back, I don't know, June or so, mandated mask wearing when you're out in public. I have yet to wear a mask, and I refuse to go into a store that requires me to wear a mask. I'll go elsewhere. I mean, it's just ridiculous to me. I mean, the ones who may have underlying health issues or who may be sick or feel safe wearing a mask, go for it. But I believe we should have the freedom to make that decision on our own and not be forced into it. I know there's a Democrat in Harrisburg who's introduced a bill. It's not going to go anywhere because the Republicans control both House and Senate. But the Democrat, I believe from Philly, has introduced a bill that if you don't wear a mask when it's been mandated, then you'll be charged with a misdemeanor or charged, you know, it's just ridiculous. And I know in other states they're actually fining people who do not wear a mask. It's become...
Well, so it's... You know, it's against our freedoms. And
yeah.
In this case, it's the freedom to breathe freely,
true.
The freedom to speak freely, and the freedom to engage publicly. And I think the public needs to understand that the mask is just the beginning. Because mm-hmm. if you are willing to put on a mask because the government says this is going to protect other people, are you going to be willing to take the vaccine when it comes?
Yeah.
Because that's the next step.
Yep. I totally
That's
agree.
The next step, and as a matter of fact, Ticketmaster just came out with the news that you're going to have to prove that either you have had the vaccine or have been tested for COVID-19 before they will let you walk into one of their events. And so this is where we're going. This is no small thing, the end of our rights, the tracking, the having to be injected with something you mm-hmm. disagree with, or you aren't going to be able to publicly engage. So this is a bigger problem than just COVID that
yeah.
we've got going here.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Dr. Fauci recently said that Americans were too independent and they need to start doing what they're told.
No.
I mean, that's how we came about. That's why we're Americans, because it was something called, you know, the War for Independence, and that's because we wanted our independence, and we still want our independence. So
that's correct.
Let's look at what's happening in America today with the mask mandates such as that. What should Americans do to protect themselves from COVID?
So several things. You just have to understand that a virus is a virus
mm-hmm.
is a virus,
mm-hmm.
and it's really tiny, and it's difficult to escape. And as some people have said, it's either going to be transmitted now or it's going to be transmitted later. And if you look at this, if you go to COVID death rates online and just pull up Sweden, and you'll see that Sweden had a large increase in the beginning, and now it's had nothing. If you go almost anywhere else that has had a mask mandate, you'll see they're having a second surge
mm-hmm.
because the virus is going to last until the virus, you know, has nowhere to go
right.
anymore. But for those who are truly, truly susceptible of the dangerous version of COVID, you know, really it is about avoiding people who are sick. So, you know, you just spend a bit more time on your own and a little bit more tucked away
mm-hmm.
And go out wherever you feel safe.
Right.
And it's up to you, really. It's a choice. You know, older people may just be saying, you know, give me freedom.
Yeah.
I just want freedom,
Absolutely.
Right? I only got so many years yet, and I want freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, washing your hands, and of course, being really careful with food. You know, a virus is really hard to escape, but
mm-hmm.
you can try to keep your distance until the virus has really worked its way through the population.
That's called herd immunity, right?
Yes, and that happens. That just happens. There's no, like, making herd immunity happen. Herd immunity happens because the virus eventually runs out of susceptibles.
Right.
And and if you're out of circulation, well, then you're no longer susceptible. But if everybody's out of circulation, but most of the virus is still around, then it just waits for people to reemerge.
Exactly, or just waiting there, perching, or just kind of...
And in Sweden, right, they've never shut down, and so they've had this one big peak, right?
Yeah.
And they've never had another peak.
Yeah. How can folks contact you?
They can get us by phone or by email or online, so cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. You can find all contact information there. I would also say we are doing COVID-19 videos, which can all be found at patienttoolbox.org.
What was that again?
Patient Toolbox. patienttoolbox.org. All our COVID videos are there.
Okay.
And our face mask, our face freedom campaign is also there.
Okay, fantastic. So lots of stuff on all the websites, and I do encourage your listeners to go check those out. And thanks so much for being with us and helping to paint a brighter picture to answer some of the basic questions I think every American's having is why? The people are getting fed up with it. I mean, they're just getting fed up with the whole situation. So thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.